encourage you to write down those things which the Lord impresses upon your heart as we study together this evening. And the subject for this evening is praying for a blessing, or how to pray for a blessing. And I want to share with you in a few moments the definition of God's blessing and the fact that it is essential in the Christian's life. If a Christian is to be distinguished from anybody else in this world, means that something we ought to pray for. So I want to deal with that topic this evening, how to pray for a blessing. Now this, of course, which I'll be reading is a passage of Scripture which is familiar to most all of us here this evening, when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the few loaves and fish which were brought to him. And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now late. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. You give them to eat." They said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to the heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, this is a tremendous experience, quite a miracle. It all occurred because Jesus took the loaves and the fish and blessed them. And we're going to talk about what a blessing is and why it is essential for you to pray for a blessing as a Christian. Now, let's pray and ask that the Lord would bless this offering and the reading of this word. Now, dear Lord, we thank you for the blessing that it is to be here. We praise you, dear Lord, for giving us this opportunity of study. We trust, Lord, that in these next few moments, your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, speaking to us in a very special way and revealing to us Bible principles that will change our lives. Lord, we pray that in the same way you bless the loaves and the fish, that you would bless also this offering. Use it, dear Lord, to feed and to inspire many people spiritually, many more than would be humanly possible with the same amount of money. At the same time, Lord, we give joyfully and liberally, claiming your promises for those who give. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sandy and Rylene. I always get a blessing when they sing. Once on that subject, this business of being a blessing or getting a blessing, and how to pray for a blessing. Now, of course, as you know, we are studying this subject of prayer, and so I want to encourage you once again to keep your notes in some sort of a correlated fashion. And I would encourage you to keep them either in the back of your Bible or in a notebook there, which you may have in your hand, or in some fashion, so that you can keep all of your notes on this subject of prayer together. And then, especially for those of you who are entering into our ministry of intercession, you'll have something of a notebook to use as a reference as God speaks to your heart on this important subject. And by the way, may I just share personally what a rich blessing it has been for me to have an opportunity to fellowship with you individually, either in the hallway or across the table or in my office or on the phone, as so many of you have shared the way God has been ministering to others through you and ministering to you as you have been caught up in this business of praying, not just knowing about prayer and reading books about prayer, but becoming an individual who prays, who sets aside a specific amount of time during the day to pray, and then gives the rest of the day in its entirety as a time of prayer to the Lord. Now, I encourage you to listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit says to you, not necessarily what I say to you, but jot down those things which God's Spirit impresses upon you in these next few moments. And I believe the subject which we'll be thinking about this evening to be one of the most important. In fact, I would honestly say to you that there are few messages which I have preached on prayer as important as the one which I share this evening. Few of the principles as important as the principles which will be shared this evening. Because tonight I want to address this subject, how to pray for a blessing. How to pray for a blessing. And I've been praying today that God's Holy Spirit would be our teacher this evening. And the remaining moments of this worship service, we're going to be thinking together about how to pray for a blessing. You know, this business of a blessing seems to be such a frequent part of our prayer life. We pray that the Lord would bless this food, or Lord, bless those folks, or Lord, bless us today, or help us to be a blessing to someone. Let me ask you to do something, if you will. Will you think with me just for a moment, what is a blessing? Have you ever just thought you've prayed for a blessing? You've asked God to bless your food? You've asked God to bless your friends? You've asked God to bless our church? I trust that you've asked God to bless me. But do you even know what you're asking? What is a blessing? Now think with me for a moment. What do you think a blessing is? I went into Ralph Spee's office and dragged Joe McKinney in there this afternoon. I said, I want you guys to tell me what a blessing is. They gave me a good definition. It wasn't right, but they gave me a good definition of a blessing. They were pretty close, I guess, you know, sort of. They had some good answers, but I don't think it's as good as the one you're going to get tonight. What do you think a blessing is? Now, you've prayed for a blessing. All your life, you've asked God to bless things. What does it mean when God blesses something? And why is it that I said a few moments ago that it is the blessing that distinguishes a Christian from all others in the world? In fact, apart from the blessing, you cannot be distinguished from the rest of the world. Apart from the blessing, there's nothing in your life that's different than the life of the lost man. What is a blessing? Now think about it. What you say, well, it's a good thing that you get. It's something God gives because he loves us. It's a grace gift. As I talked to Brother Ralph, you know, he's so steeped in the Greek language, he began to say, well, Makarios. Ah, Makarios. You know, well, that's good. I studied that stuff too. I know that word. But what does it mean to get a blessing? Now, what is it? You're laughing at these guys, but you don't know the answer. What is a blessing? I'm fixing to give you a definition, and I want you to write it down someplace. I've had to write it down because I don't even have it memorized. Now, Ralph's laughing down here. I hope he's laughing with me instead of at me. All right, here's a definition of a blessing. A blessing is a sovereign act of God. A sovereign act of God. That simply means that God blesses when he wants to bless, not when you necessarily want him to bless. It is a sovereign act of God by which he causes something or someone to supernaturally accomplish more than is naturally possible. Now, let me say that again real slowly so that you can get it. A blessing is a sovereign act of God. I think you have that down there. By which he causes something or someone. A sovereign act of God by which he causes something or someone to supernaturally accomplish. All right? A blessing is a sovereign act of God by which he causes something or someone to supernaturally accomplish more than is naturally possible. Why do I ask God to bless this food and nourish our bodies? Because we are asking God, by an act of his sovereign grace, to cause that food to do within us and to nourish us in a fashion more than you would expect it to do so naturally. Why do we ask God to bless our church? Because we're asking that God, as an act of his sovereign will move supernaturally in our midst and cause this fellowship to accomplish more than would be possible just by human nature, just by the energy of the flesh. Why do we ask that God bless individuals? Because we're asking that God, by an act of his sovereign grace, choose to cause that individual or that thing, and it can be an object, to supernaturally accomplish more than would be naturally possible. Let me ask you something. Is it naturally possible? Is it naturally possible for 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed? I guess fish would be more appropriate. 2 fish to feed approximately 15,000 people. We call this the feeding of the 5,000. So there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. somewhere between 13 and 15,000 people. Would you expect five loaves and two fish? Man, there's some people in this church that five loaves and two fish can't feed them, much less 15,000 people. Now, is it naturally expected that just a few fish, few loaves of bread are going to feed that many people? No. What did Jesus do before he broke that bread? One thing, he blessed it. And after putting his blessing upon it, after acting in a sovereign fashion and asking for a blessing upon those fish and those loaves, it did something supernatural that it would never have done in a natural fashion. Now, I want to tell you something. The reason most people are not distinguishable, most Christians cannot be distinguished from the rest of the world, the reason most churches cannot be distinguished from the rest of the world is because we don't have God's blessing. We pray, Lord, bless this food. Lord, bless my teacher. Lord, bless this class. Lord, bless this church. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless my preacher. Lord, bless this. Bless my job. Bless my friends. Bless those missionaries. But we don't even know what we're asking. When you're asking God to bless something, now you're really asking for something. That's just not a matter of etiquette. You are really asking for it. Now, that's the truth. You are asking God to do a sovereign act by which he causes something or someone to supernaturally accomplish more than would be naturally expected. Now, folks, that's what Christianity is all about. Man, the world can always do what the world can do. The world needs to see what God can do, and what God can do is accomplished through his blessing upon people, upon groups of people, upon individuals, upon things, causing them to do supernaturally more than would be naturally expected. Now, we have before us an illustration of this fact found in the 14th chapter of Matthew, verses 15 through 21. Jesus was preaching. The crowd followed him out in the wilderness. The disciples, who were supposed to be attentive to these things, let the hour slip up on them. And now here Jesus is out in the wilderness. Pretty good peace from town. Somewhere between 13 and 15,000, you can imagine, people out there. Time to eat, and there's nothing to eat. It's in the evening. And they're in the desert. And there's a lot of people, and there's no food. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, you know, you're here for a reason. I'm not just asking you to come along for the ride. Well, men, feed them. And the disciples said, we can't. We didn't know we were having this banquet. We weren't expecting this party. Lord, we didn't have it on our calendar. And we haven't asked for anybody to cater this. Lord, all we've got is five loaves and two fish. And the Lord said, well, let me examine those five loaves and two fish. And he took the five loaves, he took the two fish, and you know what he did after he looked at them? He looked into heaven to see what God wanted to do. And as he looked up, the scripture says, looking into heaven, God revealed to him that it was his will to feed all those thousands of people with five loaves and two fish. Jesus, acting in explicit obedience to God, then blessed the five loaves and the two fish, and had them seated, and then began to break it. Now, I think it's interesting that he had them seated because there's no mistake. There's no mistake. In fact, if you check the scripture, you'll notice that elsewhere, you'll notice he had them seated in groups of certain numbers. So that this is not something that, you know, this is not editorially speaking. This isn't what one of the disciples just imagined, that there were that many people out there. Jesus had them seated in such a fashion that they knew exactly how many they were feeding, so that you wouldn't be all fouled up and wonder if this is really a blessing. He knew exactly how many loaves he had, how many fish he had, and how many mouths he had to feed. He had them seated, he blessed it, and then he began to break it. And as he broke the bread and the disciples began to carry it out to these people, they all were fed, full to the brim, had sufficient. You know what happened? 12 baskets full were left over. Now, that's what happens when God puts his blessing on something. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you've seen God put a blessing on something? How long has it been since God's put a blessing on your life? How long has it been since God has acted in a sovereign fashion to bless you in such a fashion that you've seen accomplished in your life in a supernatural fashion more than would be naturally expected? You know, this happens a lot of times to individuals. How many times have you gotten up and said, you know, I didn't. I was poorly prepared for that Sunday school lesson, and I slept in late and stayed up late during the night, but I wanted to there are some people there that apparently need to be reached, and I did such a poor job, but God took that lesson, and He really blessed it, and people's lives were changed. A supernatural act of God by which He causes something or someone to accomplish more than would be naturally expected. Now, what we need at Eastwood Baptist Church is a blessing. What you need on your life is a blessing. What your family needs is a blessing. In fact, the world is going to look at us and they're going to say they like everything else unless we get a blessing. Now, there's several principles here, and I just want to share them with you very briefly. Principles in regard to praying for God's blessing. First of all, I want you to write this down, and that is that God's blessing is not limited by the size of your need. A bunch of people in this building, if somebody came up to you and said, you know, I'm not feeling too well, you know what you'd say? You'd say, not feeling too well, what's your problem? Well, I'm really sick. Oh, well, I'll pray that God will help you get to feeling better. No, no, says your friend, I want you to pray right now that God would heal me. Well, wait a minute, Oh, not sure I can pray that. Somebody come up to you and say, hey, man, you know, my financial situation is really collapsing. Oh, is that right? Yeah, I want you to pray for me. Okay, I'll just pray that God will help you out of your jam. No, what I want you to do is pray that God will move in my life, that things begin to rapidly occur so that I will be released from this debtor's prison. Well, wait a minute, I'm not sure I can pray about that. Pretty big thing you're asking. You see, in most of our minds, we have a limit beyond which we will not expect as we pray. I can pray for this. It's about this size. I can pray for this. It's about that size. But now those big things, I don't think those are for me. You know, I can't. But let me tell you something. God's blessing is not limited by the size of your need, big or little. Well, why bother God with that? It's just so insignificant. There's no sense in even praying about it. I mean, it's going to work out all right anyway. Just leave it alone. It'll work all right, out all right. Now, let me tell you something. Here are about 13 to 15,000 people. That's a pretty good-sized need. Jesus didn't have any hesitancy once He got the mind of God and blessed, praying for a blessing from God. And so the blessing is not limited by the size of your need. Don't you let the devil intimidate you and get you not to pray for something or for someone or for yourself because of the magnitude or of the smallness of your need. The size of your need has nothing to do with your ability to receive a blessing from God. Don't care how big it is, how little it is, it has nothing to do. Let me remind you, Jesus told a parable one time about a guy who didn't need to do anything but feed a friend who came to visit him. And he finally got his next-door neighbor up out of bed, and Jesus said he didn't give it to him because he was impressed with the size of his need, but it was because he shamelessly persisted. And so the size has nothing to do with it. Don't you let the devil intimidate you in that fashion. Second thing I want you to notice is this, and that is that God's blessing is not limited by the cause of your need. Hey, man, why don't you pray that God will begin really working in your family? Well, I would, but I'm the one that got us all in this jam, and I guess I'll just have to get us out. You know what the devil said to you? God will work in your life if you were blameless and that bad experience just happened to you, but if you're the cause of it, I mean, the Lord helps those who help themselves, and you get everything straightened out in your life, and God will probably do something. You see, He wants you to think that God will only work if you have a just and holy cause for being in a jam. But I want to remind you, the cause of your need has nothing to do with your ability to get a blessing. Has nothing to do with it. The cause of your need. You know what happened? The disciples slipped up. Jesus turned to them fully expect. He said, feed them. It's time for supper. Feed them. And they said, us? And I can see, you know, James saying, well, I'm not in charge of food. I was in charge of decorations. What are you in charge of? Well, I'm not in charge of food. I was in charge of sending out the invitations. What were you in charge of? All the way down the line. Lord, we need 13 disciples. We need a guy that's in charge of the food. Somebody slipped up. Jesus just turned to him and said, it's time to eat. Where is the food? They let it slip up. The hour slipped up on them. They made no provision. And you know what? The devil would like to tell you that because you're responsible for making your mess, that God expects you to clean it up. But let me tell you something. And I say this in all sincerity. God desires to bless you. And don't you let the devil intimidate you into believing that since you got into a jam, you have to extricate yourself before you can pray to God for a blessing. Now, God may bless you by letting you work it out yourself. But you better check that out with God first. Because the cause of your jam, you say, well, I got in this problem because I was dishonest. God still wants you to come clean with Him, and if you'll come clean with Him, He'll start blessing your life. You say, well, I got in this jam because I was unfaithful. Okay, God wants you to admit it. He wants you to confess it. He wants to cleanse you, and He'll begin solving the problems of your life. I got in this jam because I was ignorant and stupid. Well, all right, confess it to God, and then let God begin to minister in your life. The cause of your need has nothing to do with God's ability and willingness to bless you. Third thing I want to share with you is this, that God's blessings are not limited by human resources. I can hear one of the disciples say, hey, Lord, why don't you do this? Why don't you say, put this little boy up here on a pedestal and say, folks, this little boy, bless his heart, has come down here and he's just got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And oh, he's just willing to give this to anybody who'll eat it. And Lord, if you'll do that, there's a bunch of other people out there who probably got food, and they'll just break out their baskets, and there'll probably be enough around. And Jesus said to them, well, say, fellas, let me tell you something. Had not anybody else brought anything? Boy, we're really in a jam now. You know, I've actually heard people say, you know, I'd pray that God would solve this problem, but there's not anybody I can think of that can solve it. Now, that's stupid. Now, you're laughing, but I'm laughing with you. We're laughing at ourselves. That's what we say. Well, I'd ask God to do that, but I can't think of anybody who could solve that problem for me. Well, that's why you're asking God, because nobody can. Human resources available have nothing to do because you're reaching into God's storehouse. Don't you worry about where the money's coming from. A lot of people pray, and then they go out and give their friends a hint. Lord, I pray that you'll solve my financial problem. Say, I really got a financial problem. You remember, God's resources are at your disposal if you're a Christian. And so the availability of resources has nothing to do with your receiving a blessing. You say, okay, how can I get a blessing? Let me just share with you 3 things real quick. How can I get a blessing? Here's the key verse, verse 19. He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitude. 3 things. First of all, he assessed the situation. He had all the people sit down. He wanted to know how many were there. He wanted them to be impressed with how many were there. And then with them seated so they could all see, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He wanted to see what he had. Now, I promise you, if 5 loaves and 2 fishes, if there had just been a couple of people there and that would have satisfied, Jesus would have just given it to him. You know, if he had had it, he'd just given it to him. But he wanted to see how big the crowd was, and he wanted the crowd to see how little what he had was. He just assessed the situation. Sit down. Bring me the loaves and the fish. How many they were and how much he had. Secondly, he got a vision of God's will. First, he assessed the situation. What's the mess? What's the problem? Secondly, he got a vision of God's will. Looking up, the scripture says there in verse 19. And looking up to heaven. Now, what was Jesus looking up to heaven for? Same reason he looked up to heaven when he stood outside Lazarus' grave after Lazarus had been entombed there 7 days until he was just stinking, was rotting. Jesus looked up. What did he see? He was seeing God's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. And he was trying to see what was being done in heaven. And as he looked into heaven, God, his Father, revealed to him that it was his desire for those thousands of people to be fed with those 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so he got a vision. Now, where do you get that? You get it from God's Word. The best way for you to see what it is that God wants to do is to look in His Word. And then the third thing he did, he simply acted in obedience to God's will. He said, God wants to feed these thousands of people with these few loaves and these few fish. All right, the way to get that done is just to start giving it out. And so he just acted in obedience to the will of God. And God worked supernaturally in that fashion. Supernaturally in that fashion. So that it would be a blessing. Now, what is a blessing? A blessing is a sovereign act of God by which he causes something or someone supernaturally to accomplish more than would be naturally expected. Now listen, folks, the world's not going to give a hill of beans about you or this church or anything that has a Christian label about it if all you can accomplish is what they can accomplish. If all that happens in your life is just what's happening in their life. We need a blessing. You need a blessing. Our church needs a blessing. Your family needs a blessing. And there's a way to get a blessing. Assess the situation, see what God wants to do, and act in obedience to the revealed will of God. I want to tell you something. When you begin acting on that basis, you'll begin living in the abundance of the Christian life. 12 baskets full left over. I wonder if that's the story of your life. Can you say, boy, I've come to God with this need, this pressing need. I've assessed the situation. I've seen what God wanted to do. I've acted in obedience to his will. And the end result has been not only that the need was met, but there was an abundance left beside. 12 baskets full left over. Shouldn't that be the distinguishing mark of the Christian? Is it the distinguishing mark of your life? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I just pray that in these next few moments you would bless this word. Cause your word to accomplish supernaturally in our lives more than would naturally be expected. And Father, I pray that as your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, that many people tonight would respond. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. In a few moments, we're going to stand together. Brother Bill is going to sing our hymn of invitation. And this will be your personal invitation to come to Jesus. You don't know anything about a blessing until you know Jesus. There's no way to make heaven. There's no way to have eternal life, forgiveness, cleansing of sin, all those things, apart from the blessing of God in your life, which comes initially through Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers. I am the way, said Jesus, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But as many as received him, said John, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, said Paul, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can you receive that blessing? How can you receive that gift tonight? Listen to these words of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If a man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus makes that promise. He's saying, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. I want to come in. I want to cleanse you of sin, forgive you of sin, give you abundant life, and give you eternal life. I want it to be yours. I want to give it to you. I want to live within you, to wear you like a suit of clothes. But I will not come into your life uninvited. And he's asking you to put your trust in him tonight. And I encourage you to make up your mind where you're seated right now that when we stand, you'll make your way to the aisle, come forward, take a counselor by the hand and say something just this simple. I want to be saved. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to be a Christian. They'll share with you and talk with you and pray with you. And before you leave tonight, you can know what it's like to have your sins forgiven, your life cleansed, and Christ living in your heart, filled with the Spirit. This is your invitation to make that decision. Perhaps you're a Christian, but since you became a Christian, since you've become a Christian, you have not followed the Lord's command to be baptized. He commanded it, left the example. The early church followed his command. It is an open way, public way of testifying to others that you've died to an old way of life and risen to walk in newness of life. And I encourage you, if you've not been baptized since you've become a Christian, to make your way forward and tell a counselor, say, hey, I've become a Christian. I want to be baptized to follow Jesus' command. I want to be my Lord, and if I don't follow his command, he can't be my Lord. Perhaps you're here, you're a Christian church member, God's led you here and fed you here, and you want to be a part of this fellowship. I would encourage you to come, perhaps by transfer of letter, perhaps on statement of faith, perhaps after you follow the Lord's command to be baptized, you want to be a part of this congregation. I encourage you to come. Obey the command of God, which says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This is your invitation to make that decision. Could be you're here and you may have a prayer request. I would encourage you to come at the very outset of the invitation. Share that with a counselor who will record it and ask others to pray with you. This is your invitation to say yes to Jesus tonight. And I encourage you to do so with heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you just stand? And as you stand, just make your way to the aisle, make your way forward, and join these counselors who are coming, saying, yes, I want to respond to God's call to my life right now. That's it. Just slip out right now, as Bill sings. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings. We love you and praise you. We thank you, dear Lord, that you've ministered to us in such a tremendous way tonight. Thank you for Scott, dear Lord, and for his wonderful decision. And Lord, we pray for Gene Vaughn. We pray that you'd just minister to him in a physical fashion. We pray for Norm Go tonight to inspire us to share our faith with others, to be a blessing to others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.